So I wanted to speak about this evening a topic which really emerges very, very peripherally, very incidentally to the shiur, and that comes from the story that's towards the end of the parsha, of course, with Yosef interpreting the dreams of the two other people who are listed as his co-prisoners in the dungeon of Paro. Of course, we know that there's Asar HaOfim, the baker, and then there's Asar HaMashkim, the butler. And when Asar HaMashkim tells the story of his dream, etc., we know, of course, that the whole theme, the whole reason he's in the prison, and the whole theme of the prison, of course, has to do with his Gefen Lefanai, as the Pasuk says, has to do with Eshkoloseha, Anavim, Hivshilu, etc. This is all about the wine and the grapes and the story with how he got into prison with the stubble or the rock in the wine. And I wanted to take the opportunity of this incidental or peripheral reference in the Parsha to discuss some of the halachos as they relate to the laws of Bari Pri HaGefen, and specifically the laws of grapes, and specifically a sugya that comes up on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis in Masech Brachos, and that is a particular shaila known as Yayin Poter Shar Mashkim. In other words, if you in one meal, in one sitting, or for that matter at a shmorg in one standing at a kiddush, you had two different drinks. First you made a Bar Pri HaGefen, you had wine. You have to ask, you have to know which kinds of wine, what the best kind of wine is, but and then you subsequently wanted to have water or soda. The question is, do you have to make another bracha on your second beverage, or is it sufficient, the Bari Pri HaGefen you made on the wine? Why might we think such a thing? So this is what emerges from the Gemara here in Masech Brachos. On Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara quotes a Memra, which says that just has a Mand Amar that says, Kashem Shahapas Poter Shahar Ochlin, just like if you make Hamotzi, you don't have to make a brachos on the individual foods that you eat afterwards. So too, says the Memra, Yayin Poter Es Hamashkim, Shar Mashkim. That if you drink a Bar Pri HaGefen, you do not have to make another bracha on anything else. Yes? We didn't even get to that yet. We haven't gotten any details yet. That's the line of the Gemara. So, first of all, just to clarify what that means. What we're referring to, especially when we speak about bread, is anything that you eat subsequently, assuming that there hasn't been a hefsek until you've benched, would be sufficient, and the position of this opinion in the Gemara is even food that is not part of the Seuda. Even a dessert, even a fruit dessert at the end of the meal, according to this opinion in the Gemara, pas, if you make hamotzi, you don't have to make a bracha on that. The Gemara, the halacha is, and the Rishonim assume, that we do not paskin like that first half of the Memra. We do not paskin that just because you made hamotzi, you get a free ride. The halacha is more nuanced. Namely, once you make hamotzi in your kaveh asuda, then any other foods that are mitam the suuda, you don't have to make another bracha on. But something like a dessert, which is not considered as part of a meal, it's something that comes after a meal, it's separate from the meal. So you do have to make a new bracha, even though you bench. You won't have to make a new bracha achrona, but you do have to make a new bracha rishona on a dessert. That's because we do not paskin like this manda amar in the Gemara.
Did you say even though you bench?
No. Even though you will bench, which is why you don't have to make a separate bracha achrona, but even though you will bench, you do have to make a independent bracha rishona on dessert. That is understood as a rejection of this first half of this statement in the Gemara. The question then is, if the statement is made as two halves of a whole, if we know that we don't paskin like the first half of the statement, do we also not paskin like the second half of the statement? And this may be seems like it's a machlokas rishonim. Tosis on the Gemara makes exactly this point. You know, sometimes you do throw the baby out with the bathwater. If the manda, it was clearly these two things were said not only by the same person, but they went together. We know already, says the Tosis, we don't hold like this halacha when it comes to hamotzi. Therefore, it says Tosus mistama, we don't hold like it when it comes to Bar Pri HaGefen as well. The Aruch HaShulchan suggests that this is not just Tosfos. He says if you take a look at the Rambam and the Tur, you can look and you can look and you can look, and you will not find a citation of this halacha. They never quote it, at least not explicitly in the language of the Gemara. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, you see from here, that the Rambam and Tur also hold, like Tosfos, that we reject this halacha lamaisa. However, whether or not the Rambam and the Tur agree, at most you may have these three Rishonim, not three, three major leaguers, but nevertheless, as Aruch HaShulchan and Rav Adya Yosef, in his inimitable fashion, in a tshuva in Yechav Adas, point out, Rov Rishonim do split the difference, make a split decision on the Gemara, and say, even though we don't paskin like the first half of the statement about Hamotzi, we do paskin like the second half of the Gemara in terms of Bar Paragofen. If you make a Bar Paragofen, Yayin Poter Es Shar Hamashkin. And in fact, Shulchan Aruch paskins like this Manda Amar. The Shulchan Aruch is in Siman Kuf Ayin Dalid Sif Beis and Arachayim. Shulchan Aruch paskins as this Gemara makes that claim. Now, what circumstances is that true? You alluded to one, how much do you have to drink, and it's even more complicated than that. That will be the remainder and the meat of our wine shear. But the basic bottom line is it comes out of this Gemara. There is seems to be a decent argument to be made by some Rishonim that we won't paskin this way, but Lamaisa, the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way, following the view of Rov Rishonim. Why would you say this way? What's the rationale? What's the svara? So most of the Rishonim seem to learn some variation of what Tosfos suggests and others, even though Tosfos says we don't hold like this, but when Tosfos is suggesting what's pshat in that opinion in the Gemara, and they have a line that is quoted by many, the Prima Gadim and others quoted, the yayin is rosh l'shar hamashkim. That is the highest form of liquid of beverage that one could have, and therefore, by definition, anything else that you would drink is tefillin low. It sounds like it, although we'll see. There's a machlokas on how to understand ikar and tefil, and there's definitely a machlokas whether this is a form of ikar and tefil. But certainly, as a starting point, that's exactly what I would say, Alan, and it may even be that that will be the finishing point as well. But that's certainly the closest frame of reference. Whether this is just a variation of Ikar and Tuffel or is its own halacha, we may try to get into a little bit, but certainly that would be a, if it's not identical, it's at least a frame of reference. Yes?
We don't say chitam rosh b'sher ha'eichlet.
Right.
Okay, so the question has to be...
And we don't pass like the first half of that statement.
Why is that? I'm going to
a Matthias. It's a Matthias. Right. They're not equivalent. Yayin has a yayin is more special than any one grain. Correct, but that's not relevant. Okay. So first of all, in the Rishonim themselves, even among those who seem to accept this lahalacha, there are some caveats. And the question will be, you know, we have this big heter now. Question is, how much can we chip away from it, so to speak? How many caveats are there? So first of all, the Sefer HaRokeach mentions one, which is that it only potters from Bracha Acharona. He understands the Gemara, not Bracha Rishona. So if you had wine and then the soda, you'd only need an Aligefen, you wouldn't need a Bari Nefashos. Shulchan Aruch explicitly in Siman... Yes, Bracha Rishona. You make the shot, exactly. Exactly. He says it's only a patur on Bracha Chorona. The Shulchan Aruch explicitly rejects this, and it's similar to Reish Chas. Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's both. It's a shame that you don't need a Bracha Rishona. You also don't need a Bracha Chorona. But there is that, at least one opinion, chipping away a little bit in Rishonim. A more significant shita, which is really debated in the Achronim, and be very practical for us, this Shabbos, if you go to a bar mitzvah or a kiddush somewhere, is the position of the Mordechai. The Mordechai says that perhaps what the Gemara had in mind is really a closer equation to pas than it led on. After all, what's the story with bread? The story with bread is that that is the kfiyas of your suda. And memela, everything else that's part of the suda, is included in that suda. So perhaps, says the Mordechai, same thing as when it comes to yayin. Only if you are koveya, you're drinking the wine b'kfiyas. Not you happen to be, you know, at a shmorg or at a kiddush and you have a cup of wine or something like that. But rather, and the way the lashon of the poskim is, not if you just had a cup or two of wine, but rather somebody like a wine tasting party. You know, probably some people, more maybe in Northern California or other places or in France. But there are people, I'm sure it's maybe not as common in Baltimore, but certainly in other places, I'm sure even in America. People get together just for the purpose. They're not there to have a meal and wine with the meal. They're there to drink the wine. It's an issue of quantity, but it's also even something more subtle than that. Says the Mordechai, only when you're having a kvias of wine, and then, maybe just because you need some fresh air or something, your head's getting a little buzzed, so you take a drink of water or you take a drink of soda, then because you made the bar prior gefen, not stam, but you made it as a kvias of wine, so then in such a case, the other drinks will be tofel. But if all it was stam, you had a cup, whether it was at the beginning of the meal or in the middle, but whatever it was just more incidental, it was more arai, says the Mordechai then, that even though we passing like the Gemara, but that's not what the Gemara meant. The Gemara was referring to a much more limited circumstance. That's what we're getting to. We're getting to it. That's exactly where I'm headed, Alan. Now, the Shulchan Aruch, when he passed, is this, again, between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, it's clear that we're referring to both Bracha Rishon and Bracha Achrona, but it's not clear from Shulchan Aruch or the Ramah how we hold about this particular Mordechai. Because again, this would be a severely limiting heter. It's a really limited heter according to the Mordechai. It's much more expansive the way we assumed. But if you take the Mordechai into approach, it could be much more limiting. So a kind of a segue or a related point is the Ha'ara that's made by Rabbi Kiva Eger in his Gilyon to Shulchan Aruch. And Rabbi Kiva Eger seems to point out a significant machlokes which gets to the heart of the Kiddush question. Because Kiddush, whether it's Kiddush at a meal or Kiddush at a, what we call it colloquially, a Kiddush, so there is certainly far from a kvias. You may be drinking very little, number one. And number two is, you're not drinking that wine because you want to drink wine. You're drinking that wine because you have a mitzvah of Kiddush. That's very, very different than what the Mordechai was talking about. So the question is, what about something like that? That's a very halachah l'maisa question. So the Kivager points out that there's a sefer called the Bate Kahuna. And I have to say, Baruch Hashem, that I just came back, I think some of you may know, I just came back from a shul-related conference in Florida. And even though the conference was focused on the mili de'alma aspects of the rabbinate and shul administration and governance, but Baruch Hashem, we did have a group of rabbis and laymen there for 3 days. We did learn Torah. And actually what they did is they brought Joel's old Harusa, Rabbi Baruch Simon, who gave shurim to intersperse throughout the conference to give us extra ruchnius in our conference. And it happens to be that I was talking to Rabbi Simon about this topic, and he says, yes, last year in June I gave shir on this. And thanks to the godless, not only Rabbi Simon, but of the internet, I was able to, in about 3 seconds, find not only the shir that Rabbi Simon gave, but his style when he gives shurim is that he makes these huge Mar Makomos packets. So sure enough, he found, in a way that I never could have, I don't even know who the author was, he found, not just Rabbi Kiva Eger, that was the easy part, he actually found, I have a copy now in my folder, an original Bate Kahuna. I don't know who that is exactly, forgive my ignorance, but I taka saw, it was on page 13 in Rabbi Simon's packet from last June, and I thank Rabbi Simon for that and some other horrors on the sugya, which hopefully we'll all benefit from. But this is this achron that Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes, who says the following, and think about what it reminds you of. Says the Bate Kahuna, only wine drunk in the middle of a meal or drinking because you want to drink, as opposed to wine that is drunk as a berchas hamitzvah, then that does not help. What is that reminiscent of? It's reminiscent of the Mordechai. It's not identical to the Mordechai, but it's reminiscent. Mordechai requires kvias on the Yayin, and while this Bate Kahuna does not necessarily go as far as the Mordechai, but he does point out that you're drinking, not incidentally, but drinking because you want to drink, as opposed to if you're just drinking because that's the mitzvah, for example, Kiddush, or I guess you would imagine Abdullah would be similar, then it would not help. I don't think so, because Kiddush or Havdalah are both about a lot more than just being mouth to yourself to eat.
No, but saying that those...
You mean other direction?
Yeah, in other words, you're making breakfast on that because you're being in the family, you have to drink wine, so you have to...
Are you talking about regularly or for Kiddush?
No, I'm talking about for Kiddush.
Okay.
So
who said that's why you're making brachas alayin? That's my point. You're making that because it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to give chashivas to kiddush that we make it alayin. We assume, other than according to one Rashi or pseudo Rashi in Nazir, we assume that actually drinking the wine for kiddush is only midrabanan. In fact, we assume, like most Rishonim, not only drinking the wine is derabanan, even holding the wine is derabanan. As the Rambam says, kiddush daraisa is bedvarim ba'alma. But nevertheless, it's integral midrabanan to the mitzvah of kiddush that, the way I put it, they can leave aside the drinking of it, which is a further derabanan, but like a toast, and there's a certain chashivas when you're going to be sanctifying kiddush bedvarim, you didn't just do it stam, you got up there with the cup. So that's not stam. That's integral. That's not just because I need a heter to drink the wine. That's part of the mitzvah. But you made a perfect it's part of the kiddush and the chanami, which is why you could have had a havamina, and we'll see. Maybe we'll maskana. We're gonna say it. We'll see. But lamaisa again, before we see who argues, this achron called this bate kahuna. He says explicitly again from the Mordechai, we could have been medayik like this. But we don't have to infer. The bate kahuna Rabbi Kiv Eger quotes us explicitly that something like kiddush would not help. That would not help to pater you from the soda afterwards. However, enigmatically at the bottom of this Rabbi Kiv Eger, he says, I ain't b'magen Avram. And if you take a look in the new Magen Avrams, I think, you see, what is he referring to? He's referring to a Magen Avram that occurs also there in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kufay and Dalid, where the Magen Avram is discussing, he actually gets on it, he's really talking about a whole other meal. He was talking about, we have a general halacha that if you drink water in the middle of a meal or something like that, you're not necessarily going to make, you don't have to make a new bracha, you made a motzi. What if you're drinking schnapps in the middle of a meal? Yesh, as it's referred to by the poskim. That's his shaila. Would that require a new bracha? Once he's on that topic, says the Magen Avram, if we're talking about kiddush, now he means Shabbos morning, not Friday night, obviously, if you're talking about schnapps, come a kiddush, then he says, Meman of Shach, you won't need to make another bracha on the soda. Why? Because if you use schnapps, you made a shahakal on that, you have in mind that your shahakal is going to be, that's not this special halacha, that's just the same exact bracha, shahakal and shahakal. And then says the Magen Avraham, like a throwaway line, and if you made bar priya gafen, then you also don't need to make any more brachas. So you see, Rabbi Kiv Eger doesn't spell it out, but you see from that Magen Avraham, even though it's totally parenthetical, but it's pretty explicit, that the Magen Avraham seems to be saying, he doesn't give you any explanation, he doesn't give you any lumdus, but he seems to assume that even when Bar Pri Gafen is just said, not because you want to drink wine, not because you're having a kfiyas wine party, you're just saying Bar Pri Gafen because it's part of kiddush, even kiddush during the day. Nevertheless, a Magen Avraham there at least seems to say, arguing on that Bate Kahuna and saying that that would be sufficient, and therefore the other soda, which is a shahakol, you would not have to make the shahakol, the Gafen from the kiddush would be enough. Another possible argument against the shita also comes from the Chai Adam and the Nishmas Adam. The Chai Adam focuses very much on one's das. We haven't even gotten into that yet. No one's brought that up, not me or you yet. The Chai Adam talks about someone's das when they made the Bar Pri Gafen. And the way he talks about it, and we'll see there'll be other versions of this as well, Chai Adam says in Klal Nun Hey, it depends. What was your das when you made your Bar Pri Gafen? If you were only going to be drinking Derech Arai, which, as I say, incidentally, is defined as one or two cups, Kosechar or Shnayim, says the Chai Adam, only one or two cups of wine, Derech Arai, but you had no intention to drink other drinks, then you do need a separate bracha, says Chai Adam, for Shar Mashkim. But if you had in mind, either you had a kviyas like the Mordechai, or you just had in mind at the time of Bar Pri Gafen that you wanted it to count for your soda afterwards, then says Nishmasa, then says Chai Adam, it would work. That's what he says on the top of the page. In the expanded footnotes, in the Nishmas Adam, he says that he points out that the implications of this, he teases out, are that wine for kiddush, assuming you had in mind, I'm going to have a drink with my kugel afterwards, would be poter, the wine for the kiddush would be poter, and you would not need a separate bracha on Shar Mashkin, because it's all about kavana. If I have kavana that the Baruch Gafen can count, then it will count. And he quotes, the Magen Avraham is based on that. Now, it's not clear that the Magen Avraham required the das. Again, that's a kula and a chumra. it's a kula and that it allows Kiddush to count, we saw the Batei Kahuna said no. But it's a chumrah because you might have said, who needs das? Maybe it's just an automatic thing. You make the bar per goffin, and that is Rosh Lashar Hamashkim. It's the king of all drinks. Maybe therefore it should be on a formal level, automatically pottering. Chayadam is a middle position. He says, no, it's all about your das. If you had the das, then even if you were just drinking a small amount, like Kiddush, that would be sufficient. We didn't get to that yet. We're going to get to that. You're all on target. Just let's take it one step at a time. This inference is from the Magen Avram and the Chayadam. It comes full circle, so to speak, Rabbi Feirish, in the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Kuf Ayin Dalad. Shulchan Aruch Harav says, Beferish, against all of these things which are variations of the Lomdus going back to that Mordechai, which is this big Chumrah, requiring Kviyas and maybe Das, says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, absolutely not. Beferish, you don't need a Kviyas, you just need Das. As long as the plan was you were going to have soda when you made the Kiddush, there is no need for any further bracha. It doesn't matter why you were drinking. It doesn't matter how much you were drinking of the wine. It's beferish against this Batei Kahuna that Rabbi Akiva Eiger quoted. As long as you had it in mind, you are Yotzei Kiddush. Now there's one final variation, if you're keeping it all on track, and we'll summarize it, because Mishnah Berurah is going to quote two opinions. So we've got about four or five opinions, but by the time we get to Mishnah Berurah, it's going to get whittled down. The one final opinion that we have not yet mentioned, the one factor quoted by the Taz, who can think of it, in Klolius and Hilchos Brachos, again, think Iker and Tafel, think one bracha pattering other brachos from other areas of Hilchos Brachos. What's another factor that we sometimes are makbid on? When we say, oh, if you made a bracha on this, it can count for that. What sometimes, in certain circumstances, we require one other factor. Sometimes there's an issue of das. But what's another factor sometimes? Close. It's got to be on the table at the time of the bracha. Right? In Hilchos Brachos, that's often a factor that's brought up. Well, was it, even if you weren't eating it, but was it on the table when you made the bracha? So the Taz makes that, throws in that wrinkle. He says, yes, you need to have in mind, as long as it's on the table, so to speak. So if you got, you know, there's two strategies. I mean, this, let's talk, you know, this is Torah, but let's talk about something really important, like strategies at a Kiddush. Right? There's basically, you know, two dinim, there's two strategies at the Kiddush. There are those guys who go for the Kiddush, and after that, then they go for the food. Then there are those guys who first run and fill up the plate, they get all the food, and then once they have to fight about that, then calmly they go get the Kiddush and they already have the plate. So, we did strategy in Achila Gasa, we can clear on which is a better way to get more food. But from Hilchos Brachos, says the Taz, that the latter one is going to help you. If you had your kugel and your soda and your everything, it's all ready to go. You just needed to make Kiddush. So then when you made your Bar Perag Offen and you had the food right in front of you and your soda right in front of you, the Bar Perag Offen on the Kiddush would work for...
That's because of
Das. But it's an additional requirement. You also need it in front. You also, if you didn't have it in front, the Taz says Das would not be enough. You needed to have it. It's in a kind of a, almost in a metaphysical way, the bracha has to be chal on the food, or on the drink in this case, that's in front of you. Therefore? So that, if we were giving, I'm saying that, in general, in Hilchos Brachos, that's the shiloh. What requirements do we make for one thing to be in mind for something else? Oh, good. So that, you know, halacha is not a one-step process. This is, all of this is the different shitas in Achronim. Right? Now comes along the Mishnah Berurah, and again, be wary, where, you know, there's only so much we can give one shir on. I am not discussing Hilchos Mezonos and other things. And Echanami, there are a lot of parallel shilas here. But we're just, the only thing I take responsibility for is what we say about Bar Perag Offen tonight. The Mishnah Berurah quotes here in Sifkat and Gimel, all this again is in Simon Kuf Ayin Dalad, says Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Gimel, two dais. And the two dais are exactly what Shmuel alludes to. Oze. Either you had it in front of you, you have the soda with you when you made the Perag Offen, or if you didn't have the soda with you, as long as you had in mind that you were going to drink the soda, says the Mishnah Berurah, either one of those, it works. Even though you are not Koveya, you're not drinking lots of wine, you're not being machmer for the Mordechai, and even though it is a Birchas HaMitzvah, you're saying this just for Kiddush, we don't hold like that, Rabbi Kiva Eger, we can be making all that, But one last factor. You do need some connection to the soda. Either you had it in front of you, or you more explicitly had the das. And in fact, the minhag, again, I don't know how many people know this halacha, but I think there's a pretty common minhag among those who know the halacha, that taka, if you had in mind that you're going to make, you're going to have a drink later, you know, some other drink at the Kiddush, if you make bar peragafen at the Kiddush, you don't have to make a shahakal on the soda. You can drink the soda as a freebie. Now, why should that be? It's interesting just to point out, there's a lomda shulchan aruch harav here about Hilchos Kiddush. The shulchan aruch harav in Seif Beis quotes this Pshita of the shulchan aruch harav, which is one of the dais in the Mishnah Brura, and he makes the point, what about those achronim, the Taz, others, going back all the way to the Mordechai, we require kviyas, and that is certainly more analogous to the other half of the Memra in the Gemara about bread. What about kviyas? After all, Kiddush, you know, Samael, if I'm sitting there having a wine party, that's a kviyas on Yayin. But just Kiddush, there's certainly no kviyas, you know. I'm just getting the Kiddush out of the way so I can go run to the chulent. So what happened to that? So you could say, but Pashas, we didn't hold of it. But Shulchan Aruch Harav has something very intriguing, which if we were doing a Shir Hilchos Kiddush, it would be worth exploring to see whether we could prove or disprove this thesis. But says the Shulchan the Aruch HaShulchan, that Kiddush by definition is a kviyas. Kiddush, because of its halachic significance and the fact that what's one of the requirements, Gemara Pesachim, for Kiddush? B'makom Suda. So even though the kviyas is the Suda, not you, I would have thought not the Kiddush, but the bottom line is halachically, it's all already in the Kiddush. The kviyas is in the Kiddush, and therefore when I make Bar-Pregofen, ironically, again, I don't know that Mordechai would agree, but what he's trying to claim is that this works out even a libud of Mordechai. Now, again, if we could ask the Mordechai, maybe he would say, with all due respect, Rabbi Aruch HaShulchan, you misunderstood me. But what he's trying to say is, even if you accept the chumrah of the Mordechai, that you require kviyas, two dinim and kviyas. If you're having a wine party and a wine mixer, that's one level. That's really what he was talking about. Secondly, if you were having a halachic drink, which again, ironically, according to the Batei Kahuna, Rabbi Kveger, is a weakness. But Rosh Hashanah says, no, Adarabba. If it's just a weeknight, you know, there are people, you know, people come home from work and before dinner, you know, to have a little cup of wine. And many people like that. So that's not a kviyas, and it's not a mitzvah. So no one would say that when you then sat down to dinner, you didn't have to make a shahakal on your, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, that wouldn't work. But, he says, the same one little cup of wine, even if it's before the meal, but it's Kiddush. The halacha of Kiddush gives it a kviyas. Now, I don't know that you have to go so far, and it would seem to me that most of the other achronim who are, quote, mekil, like in the Mishnah Brura, they're not saying it's dafka because it's Kiddush. They're saying, no, if you had in mind you're going to drink soda afterwards, that would be sufficient. The Rav Avadi Yosef, I mentioned before, he has a tshuva on this, and Yechavadas, and he discusses something with kajillions of sources, which is, if you want the short version, it's just in the Mishnah Brura as well, but then you don't have all the fun of taking a tour throughout all the other achronim you never heard of, is, what about the shaila was alluded to before? What about if someone else, whether it's the rabbi, in effect, the way the person asked the shaila to Rav Avadi Yosef, they actually asked it about the rabbi. So what if the rabbi makes Kiddush? And it's enough for me to say Amen, I'm Yotze. So now I run to the kit. Now I go to the shmorg, to the buffet table. Do I have to make a bari shahakol on my soda, or is it sufficient because I was Yotze Kiddush through the rabbi? So he points out with a kajillion of achronim, and again, if you want the simple version, it's just in the Mishnah Brura says it as well, that that's not going to work. That the only way this kind of a heter gets off the ground is if you drank some wine. The whole idea is it's Rosh Sharam Ashkim, but if you didn't drink it, so then it's not going to work. That's Rav Avadia's point. It's interesting. This is in a,
even if you have das when the rabbi makes.
So the way Rav Avadia, you know, he sometimes gets a bum rap, but he has a one liner in there, which is a tifa lushin. It's a lumdisha point. Says Rav Avadia, you know, he sometimes like a lot of the svarim get a bum rap of just being, you know, collectors and not thinkers. But he there has a line which I thought was very sharp. He says that the way Kiddush that works is that there's really two dinim. It's in the same Bar Pregafen. There's only one bracha on Shabbos morning. But nevertheless, there's two dinim in that Bar Pregafen. It's both a Birchas HaMitzvah and a Birchas HaNenin. And therefore, he says, the Amen to the rabbi only works for the Mitzvah of Kiddush. It does not potter you, if you didn't drink anything, it does not potter you from the Birchas HaMitzvah, from the Birchas HaNenin, that of the yayin, and therefore it's not going to help you for the subsequent birchtanen, and you wouldn't need to make a shahakol. Incidentally, for those who are interested in this topic, if you take a look in the bottom of that tshuva, he has like a footnote where he points out that he thinks that a lot of these marmakomos go, which are very mainstream, go against one of the classical brisker chumras. They say over in the name of the brisker rav that he held that even though we generally have shomea kaona as a principle, and in Kiddush everybody knows that you do not have to drink the wine, the brisker rav had a chumra that was only Friday night. Because there, as we said before, the Rambam Rosh Rubam holds that Kiddush midaraisa is the Dvarim Ba'alma. The yayin is something completely different. As long as someone drank the wine, the father drank the wine, no one else has to drink. That everyone agrees, the says the brisker rav. But he held that on Kiddush, on Shabbos morning, that was really fundamentally a berachas anenin. We just throw around some sukkim besides that to give it a little bit chashivas. But the essence is a berachas anenin, and therefore he said everyone who wants to be yotzei, taka has to drink. If I'm not mistaken, I think maybe Rav Lichtenstein has such a chumrah as well, which wouldn't be entirely surprising. I don't think
they
it's...
Don't make a bracha, though.
No, but the point is you have to drink. And if you didn't drink, then you'd have to make your own Kiddush. As opposed to Friday night, where you don't have to drink. So Rav Avadya quotes this tradition. Huh? Also had such a chumrah?
Yeah.
So Rav, very interesting. I want to figure out that from the brisker rav. I'm not sure. Could be. Anyway, either way, Rav Avadya, in the footnote, he quotes this tradition, the name of Rav Elvel, and he suggests that a lot of these marmakomos are against that. But that's... I think that's a Hilchas Hasidus. I don't think that's Hilchas Kiddush. I don't think that's Hilchas Kiddush. That's a separate issue. But I don't think that's Hilchas Kiddush. I don't think that's Hilchas Kiddush. I think that's Hilchas Vedovkaba. Or Es Hashem Lekechatira, or Rabba Samit Chachamim. I don't think that's Hilchas Kiddush. Yes, Barry.
When the rabbi makes Kiddush and you shrink from the small cup, you don't...
Who's you? You're using too many pronouns.
You pour it out. I don't drink. I don't make a bracha on that little cup.
Right.
Now, if I, however, am being...
Meaning you, meaning like one of the little kids on Friday night.
Well, on Shabbat.
But you don't drink for me.
Correct. But if you...
If you did, you mean.
No, but I'm trying to be machalik. If I would pour a different kind of wine in the Kiddush, I think...
Meaning what? If I made Burpar Guffin on one kind of wine, but then I poured you a little bit of some another kind of wine?
But then I went into the Kiddush room and poured a different kind of wine. I think I would still have to make a Burpar
Guffin. It sounds like that. You know, I'm still confused by the pronouns. Who's who? Who did what? Talk about Reuven and Shimon. We don't need a rabbi. We're not so special. We don't need a rabbi. Reuven and Shimon.
A person makes a bracha.
Reuven made Burpar Guffin and Kiddush. Vishamru.
Correct.
Did Shimon drink from that or not?
No. In general, if Shimon would drink from a small amount of that, he would not make a bracha. But if Shimon did not drink from that,
oh,
and then walked over to another bottle...
That's exactly what we're saying. That's exactly
but
what...
I'm, but I'm right, on wine.
As opposed to, you mean, of Shara Mashim. Yeah, I think that may be...
Lushitaso,
especially when Rav Avadya explains it, I think you're correct.
Okay.
I think you're correct.
You wouldn't have to make a bracha.
No, you would. Because Rav Avadya's whole point is that there's no fulfillment of the Brechas Anenin. There's only fulfillment of the Brechas Anenin if you taste it from the Kiddush, not if you just said Amen to the Kiddush.
Taste it or drink Rivius?
Just, for this case, it's just taste it. Just taste it. Just taste it.
You
talk about for Kiddush or for our topic? So we're confusing two separate topics. You're saying, so leave us by Barry's now. Just ask me Hilchos Kiddush questions so I understand you.
Someone made Kiddush. There was wine on the table, a bottle he made on the coast. The coast is that empty. And now he wants to take from the bottle.
And you said, Shaila, does that count as drinking me kosher bracha or not? Yeah, that there's different minhagim about that. That's correct. There are different minhagim about that. Do you, in order to fulfill that Kiddush, do you, or especially the kiyum of drinking from the Kiddush, do you have to take from the Kiddush cup? Or if there was wine on the table that wasn't in the Kiddush cup, there are different minhagim about that. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's, I remember, I think was it for this Thursday night shiur, for a different shiur that I was giving maybe a year ago, a Hilchos Kiddush shiur. So I dafki was curious what people did, and I actually called up, I don't remember who I spoke to, but I was just chazering even among my rebbeim, and it turns out there was different minhagim. I think Rav Shechter does what you do. I think he sees how many people at the table, and he pours out into little cups, and then he makes Kiddush. So you're actually drinking from a different wine, but he holds exactly what you just said. Whereas Rabbi Willig pours out from the actual Kiddush cup. But certainly, according to many, you're right, that would work. I want to discuss two more topics. We have 6 minutes to go, and two more topics, which I think are not necessarily related, I mean, they're part of the broader topic, but the very, very interesting topics. What do you say about the following Shaila, which was a suffix of the Chasam Sofer? I'm going to read you a little bit of the Chasam Sofer inside. It's also quoted in the Bir Halacha. Chasam Sofer says the following, a very fascinating question. Nafali Seika, he says, B'yayin poter komine mashkin, she'ein hamashkin nitzrachim liyayin, ela shechashivas kviyoslo shal yayin, poter kol mashkin. Even though we're not talking about a tuffel in the classical sense, it's not like this is soda that's somehow part of it. I'm not making a cocktail of soda and wine, and I say that the yain is the ikkar, and therefore I don't have to make a bracha on the soda. Now the soda's got nothing to do with my wine. But yet, we have this halacha that it's the melech malchei amlachim, the av of kol mashkim, and therefore the yayin can be motzi me, help me be yotze, even something that's nothing to do with it. Fine. That's the halacha quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Frek techas and so forth, the following kasha. Im kain, what about the following person? Hashose kafe achar kach. Let's take a guy who went to Hashkama Minyan. He's making Kiddush by breakfast. There are people who are known to do such things. They're even good people. So then, once you make the wine, but what are you actually going to have? You're going to have some cake and some coffee. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. So Shaila is, do you have to make a shakel on the coffee? No, this is exactly the halacha. You make Kiddush on Yayin. What about, says the Chasam Sofer, and if anyone had a European grandparent or parent, you know what he's referring to? What about if you were Mamtako Betzukr Shebefiv? What is that? What's he referring to? The little sugar square in the teeth. Right? My Bubby and Daddy, a particularly great uncle of mine used to do that. He used to take a little cube of sugar, keep it in the teeth, and you drink through that. That's how they sweeten the tea, or the coffee, as opposed to putting it in. So Frek the Chasam Sofer, he says, I'm wondering a Shaila. If I was just sitting down to have my coffee, I make a shahakal on the coffee, and I don't need to make a bracha on the sugar, because the sugar is tuffel to the coffee. But the coffee is tuffel to the yayin. So do you say that it works like a domino effect? Do you say that I don't have to make the domino sugar? That's right, very good. Do you say that I don't have to make a bracha on the coffee because it's tuffel to the bar priya gofen of the yayin? And once I'm drinking the coffee, I don't have to make a bracha on the sugar because that's tuffel to the coffee. So now we could come up with a chiddush where it's not just yayin being poter mashkim, yayin is poter sugar. That's a big kasha, not so poshut. The Chasam Sofer seems to imply that he thinks, in fact, you would not need a bracha on the sugar. And in fact, that seems to be the way the Bir Halacha brings it down, and the way the Bir Halacha paskins. Except for the fact that in those usual cases, I made a bracha, or here's the thing that I made a bracha on has mamish no connection to this last thing. Again, we're not wondering why the bracha on the coffee helps for the sugar. That we're taking as a given. But here it's the bracha on the wine is helping for the sugar. So that seems to be the basic halacha that he says. Now, happens with the Kaf HaChaim disagrees. The Kaf HaChaim I found tonight in the Sifkat and Vav there, also in the same Simon, says no way. And the way, at first I thought he was saying something more fundamental, like we can't say, we only said it for Mashkim, not for Ochel. But when I read it more carefully, and I see that the Kaf HaChaim is quoted that way, but Lenny Steinke, when I read it, I think it was saying something a little bit more limited, namely that the Kaf HaChaim is still hung up with our old friend the Mordechai. The Mordechai who said that this whole Gemara only was talking about going to a wine party, a wine tasting party, a mixer, a kviyas on yayin, and the whole psak in the Shulchan Aruch, or certainly in the Achronim, subject of the Shulchan Aruch, is to be mekel. But says the Kaf HaChaim, listen, anyway, this is a big kula, because we're not holding like this Mordechai. So it's enough for the wine and for other mashkim that will be mekel against the Mordechai. But for sugar also, for ochel also, to be mekel, it's like a hop and a skip beyond the Mordechai, that says the Kaf HaChaim, that's too much. He's not willing to do that. a pshara, so to speak, or a compromise in order to satisfy people, is what the Bir Halacha himself quotes from the Chai Adam, and the Nishmas Adam, who says the following. The Eino Poter El Imkeim Shasa Tchila V'Aker Kach Lakach HaTzuker B'Fiv Im Yehen Tchila Min HaTzuker Lo Yihi Etofel HaMashkin V'Daito Sham D'Yoter Tov Shikach Tchila Min HaTzuker V'Yivarach Alav Yechav L'Tar HaMashkin. So the Chai Adam was bothered by the following. If I put the sugar in my mouth, like in the olden days first, I'm already being nene from sugar before I even got to the coffee. I can't say that that I'm putter from the sugar because I'm going to make even if there was no yayin, I'm going to make a shakal on the coffee, but I already have sugar in my mouth. Do not have to make a bracha on sugar? He assumes that if that was the case, if I was going to put the sugar in my mouth first before even drinking my first sip of coffee, then I would have had to make a shakal on my sugar. The only way you could have gotten out of it and said that the sugar is just toffled to the coffee is first take a drink of coffee and then put the sugar in your mouth.
Tasting, when you taste food to see whether it's good, you don't make a bracha.
But you're not doing it just for that. Here you want the taste of the sugar.
But only as part of the coffee.
Okay, but you still want, this is still na. So given all of that, you know, we're getting really complicated with our coffee and our sugar. So the Bishabura, quoting here from his recommendation, if you want to be, so to speak, machmir and take care of all the problems, he says, is yigach tchila ma'at sugar v'yivarach alav. Take a little bit of a taste. But kavana, then I'm just going to have some sugar right away. Make a shakal on that, because you don't need to make a shakal on the coffee, that's clear. But once you make the shakal, you'll double doozy. First of all, you made a bracha on sugar, which is a shayla whether you would need to. You can have in mind nachama on the coffee. So whether it's from the bar peregafin of the wine or the shakal of the sugar, either way, you'll be okay for the coffee in the middle. So that's that shayla. I'm late, and I just want to mention one thing, because I ran out of time. I thought I'd have more time. Somehow I'm still working on my time management. Okay, but let me mention one other thing, which is actually a shtickel lumdish, so I'm sorry I'm not going to be able to do it justice. And that is the following shaila. Let's say, we didn't even get to, it was your point, so even if I didn't take your question now, but I'm getting back to your point a while ago. How much do you have to drink? How much do you have to drink? So when it comes to something like kiddush, certainly, or yayin generally, when usually the shear for liquids is a revius. So the assumption is that here you have to have a rova revius. You don't have to have the whole revius. Well, a lugma of the cheekful, about 2 ounces, let's say, to be really safe, it may be less according to other poskim, but certainly I would say two, that'd be a middle position. 2 ounces would be rova of the revius. Let's say you only had half of that, just a bit of wine, 1 ounce, and you had, you know, about a half and half or a third, two-thirds of wine and water. So the Bari Priha Guffin that I made, so maybe that'll help me with the Bari Priha Guffin, with not having to make a shahakol. I made Bari Priha Guffin on my wine, but I didn't have a full revius, and now I have a half of a revius of water. What do I do about a bracha achrona? So since I did not have enough wine, I can't make an al-hagefen. Now in theory, you have to have a minimum amount of water to make a Bari Nefashos also. I didn't have enough water for that. But the combination of wine and water is enough to make a bracha achrona, which presumably would be a bar nefashos. You can't say bar nefashos if you didn't have a revius of yayin, but you should be able to make a bar nefashos. Would you say that? Would you say you make a bar nefashos, even though I didn't make a bracha rishona on the water, but maybe I'd make a bracha achrona on the water, mitam, the supplemented wine that gets me to my shir. So the Shar HaTzion asks this kasha. The footnotes on the Mishnah Berurah, the Shar HaTzion asks this kasha, and he has a very intriguing line, which we'll leave with Machlokas in a second to conclude. He says no. He says, after all, it's a suffix whether you really need a full revius to make an Ala Gefen. We assume yes, but Darf Poskim will say it's enough even on a rov revius to make an Ala Gefen. So suffix brachos lahakel, since it's a Machlokas, we don't say it. But just, this is the Lashon of the Shar HaTzion, it's very peculiar, I think. Just because you can't make an Ala Gefen, we're going to make him make a Bari Nefashos. Look, it's true, you hadn't had enough wine. So then, just like as we said before, just like you don't have to make a Bracha Rishona on the water, or the soda, you also don't have to make a Bracha Achrona on the water. But that was assuming because you were going to make a Bracha Achrona on the wine, just like you had made a Bracha Rishona on the wine. But now I can't make a Bracha Achrona on the wine, I didn't drink enough wine. So because of that, we're going to make him have a Bari Nefashos? No. That's what he says. So in one form or another, I saw in three different Sfarim the same level of exasperation. And the two famous ones were a tshuva by Rav Moshe Feinstein, as well as in the Sefer Emek Bracha. The Emek Bracha is a Sefer by Rav Aryeh Pomeranchik, who was like a Talmud Chavar, so to speak, of the Brisker Rav, from the Brisker Beis Medrash in Yerushalayim. And I think he might have been with the Brisker Rav in Europe as well, I don't remember. But a real very beautiful Brisker Sefer. It's on like miscellaneous topics, I'll say it, or kind of Shulchan Aruch. So there he has on page 58, and he didn't quote Rav Moshe didn't quote him. They basically more or less say the same thing. And then I saw Rabbi Simon told me about a third Sefer, some contemporary Sefer in Israel called the Ma'adani Usher, quotes the Igros Moshe, also basically all the same idea. And they and this will get to our Ikra and Tafel point, and we'll conclude with this. They say to the Shaar Tzion, what in the world are you talking about? Lamaisa, why do we say that I don't have to make a bracha on my soda or my water? Because I made a bracha on the yayin. I made a bar priya gafen, so I don't have to make a shahakol. If I would make an al hagefen, a bracha achrona, that would pater me from a bracha achrona on my soda or my water. But here I didn't make the bracha, so of course I have to make a bar nefashos. It's not the drinking of the wine that paters me from the bracha. It's the bracha on the wine which paters me from another bracha. So here, for whatever reason, yehei mash yehei, but the halacha is telling me, some bracha local, don't make an ala gafen. We're not punishing you by making a shahakol, by telling you you have to make a bar nefashos, excuse me. If I didn't have a bar per gafen, I have to make a bar nefashos. The only thing that would have patered my bar nefashos would have been the bracha achrona. Not just that I drank wine, but making a bracha. So it sounds so obvious. So what was the Shaar Tzion thinking? Let me finish, please. What was the Shaar Tzion thinking? So what it seems to be is you have really a fundamental machlokes. And here, I don't have time, unfortunately, to clarify the variations. Some say this is a machlokes about what Ikra and Tufel is, or others say, no, Ikra and Tufel is only one or the other of this and assume it to be obvious. That's, if we're doing an Ikra and Tufel shir, I could spend more time on that. But bottom line, whether this is a model of Ikra and Tufel or its own halacha, the kash is exactly as this. The Mishnah, excuse me, Moshe and the Emek Bracha and others assume that fundamentally, I have to make a bracha on the soda. The soda and the water are ta'on bracha. Elamai, the bar priagavin magically counts for the soda. It counts. So if I make it, then it counts for the soda or the water. If I don't make it, then it didn't count. The al hagefen, the al michi al hagefen, that counts for the water. But if I didn't make it, then I'm chayiv a bracha achrona, like I was chayiv a bracha rishona. So where's the Shaar Tzion coming from? Mistama, the Shaar Tzion holds the opposite. The Shaar Tzion holds a different chiddush, that the halacha is not that you need a bracha, but the al hagefen counts for it. It's that it's mafkia, there's no bracha at all. Once you view it as connected, as tuffled to it, however you want to formulate it, then there's no need for a bracha. So why don't I make a shakal on my soda? Not because the gefen counted, because there's no need for it. So too, there's no need for a bracha achrona on it either. And therefore, if I would have made an al gefen, good. But the fact that I don't make an al gefen doesn't change the fact that I don't need to make a bar in a fascia. So you have here a fundamental machlokas, which may be parallel in general in Ikra and Tufel for foods, but that we'll have to come back for another shir for. Fundamental machlokas, and with this we'll conclude, this halacha, which we have in the Gemara, which we do paskin like, with all the variations we've discussed, is pshat that the al hagefen fulfills the chi of bracha on the soda or the water, or is the pshat that you don't need to make a bracha on the soda or the water? That question may be at the heart of this machlokas of Rav Moshe and the Shaar Tzion. Lamaisa, I think one would assume l'chumra, like Rav Moshe, and then the bracha, that you would make a bar nefasha. It's not like that, Shaar Tzion.
You do nothing.
Right.
You make nothing.
Of no bracha, exactly.
No bracha.
Of no bracha chrona.
No bracha.
That's correct. That's what he said.